Hello and welcome to Don't Be So Dramatic. I'm Steve Bradley.
I'm Jason B. Moore.
And today we are recording live in the British Library. It's my first time here.
Very nice. Very tall. Very big building.
I'm not very tall. What are you saying?
I'm very tall.
No, it's a really lovely building. And we're joined today by our special guest, an actress and also a writer and creator of a new platform, which we're going to be talking about today, called Books Talk Back, which is held here in the British Library. So welcome to the show, Isabel King.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's start at the beginning. You're an actress.
Yeah.
So when did you first decide that you wanted to become an actress? When was the moment?
Oh, gosh. do you know, I don't think I actually had a moment, really. I think I just sort of stumbled into it, really, from doing school plays and from just watching a lot of films and that sort of thing and going to a lot of plays. So I don't think I ever really had a definitive moment, but, you know, it just came to that time I was doing my A-levels and I thought, oh gosh, I need to decide what it is that I want to do with my life. So I auditioned for drama college and I got into the East 15 acting school and then just took it from there, really. Yeah.
And how was East 15? What was training like?
I really enjoyed it. It was it is usually described as fairly radical. They're quite method, particularly, yeah, in the first year. But yeah, it was certainly a very different way to spend 3 years. Yeah.
What was the most method? Because there's obviously drama schools approach things differently. So East 15 was very method. How method was it? Like, what's the crazy? Just give us a few examples.
The craziest thing I had to do was in my first year. We did a living history project, which is where you pick a period of history. And you live in it. So you would come into drama college every day with your costumes and your designated character. And you had to live as that character for the day, for about 2 weeks, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was quite full on.
And what was your character in?
Do you know, I don't actually remember all that well, but it was she was an Irish, very feisty old woman, she had to be very, very sharp and quite manipulative. I don't think she was a particularly nice person. They didn't allocate me a very nice person to be.
And did you last that time, or did you just?
I can't bother.
Into a ball
and watch a film. Or,
I just about lasted.
Have some sherry or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I just about lasted. Do you know it was a lot of fun.
Was it worth? Did you think it was worthwhile?
I think it was worthwhile in the sense that a lot of directors out there do like to work like that. So it's not necessarily how I would always choose to work, but whenever you're involved in a project. It depends on the director, really. There's always a different way that they want to do it. And some of them do like to do method acting, so you have to have a grip of it and an understanding of it. So I think, yeah, in that sense, it was valuable, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So, finished drama school. Mm-hmm. Where did it go from there? What did you start doing after that?
I went straight into a tour after drama school, which was it was a tour of the Thomas Hardy novel Under the Greenwood Tree that had been adapted into a play by a company called the Dorset Corset Theatre Company. I sort of graduated and went straight into that. And it was a really good experience because it was regional touring. So, you know, I got to have that opportunity of playing. I was playing a character called Fancy Day. sounds like a bit like a sort of 19th century Bond girl, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, so it was nice to have a lead role in a touring production and to work with a company as well. Because in drama college, you can find yourself in a bit of a bubble sometimes. So I think it's really good to get out there straight away and work with a different group of people. Yeah.
Oh, great. And where did it sort of go from there? Did you do more theatre? Have you done television or?
Mainly theatre. I've done tons of theatre, really. I've ended up doing quite a lot of Shakespeare, which is how I met Jason at the Cambridge Shakespeare Festival. and lots of bits and bobs, quite a bit of voiceover work, but majority theatre, kind of long touring productions. I've toured abroad as well. I worked with Vienna's English Theatre, which toured Austria for 6 months.
Wow.
And that was fantastic, actually. I had a really good time. Lots of theatrical stuff.
So during that time, as the actor's life, we all know what the actor's life is like. Were you doing anything else? Is there any other sort of career or just jobs that you were pursuing? And I don't mean just to pay for your rent.
Yeah,
thing,
a lot of waitressing.
Was there another string to your bow? Because we're all taught we should have a string to our bow that led you to what we're going to talk about in a minute.
To be honest, no, which was probably why I've ended up doing what we are going to talk about, because I had a real interest in writing, I had a real passion for it, but I never thought to pursue it outside of acting. When I was younger, it kind of was just acting for me. That's all I wanted to do. And then a few years down the line, when I'd got some work and some experience under my belt and I'd done quite a bit of acting, and also I was a bit older as well, I just felt that I realised I was more interested in other things as well, and that I wanted to pursue some of those things. And having only really done acting all my life, I needed to find a hook or a way into doing that.
So was this initially through plays? Or because obviously when we talk about Books Talk Back, that's mainly it's a lot of fiction and novel work. Did it start with plays and moving into literature? Or
I think, to be honest, it just came from a love of reading fiction. It makes more sense that it would have come from plays, but to be honest, reading was always a hobby for me and a kind of escapism that I really enjoyed. So I never really associated it with anything theatrical, which is why I suppose in a way I felt like it was kind of different enough and exciting enough to pursue, I suppose. Yeah.
So tell us about Books Talk Back then.
So Books Talk Back is an interactive literary event. It features a guest novelist, an audience of guests, and a panel of pre-selected aspiring authors. And the usual format goes, the aspiring authors will read extracts of their unpublished fiction to the audience and published author, and then receive some feedback from both. And usually I start the event chatting to the published author in sort of an open discussion about the publishing industry, about their journey with their book, about their creative writing process and how they went about finding a literary agent. So hopefully some quite practical questions. The guests coming along, maybe the people who aren't necessarily reading, they feel that they've gained something from being at the event as well. So hopefully everybody in the room feels like, there was something there that they've learned from it and was interesting for everybody.
It's a bit like kind of this kind of we're doing this to provide information to other actors actresses
sort
and
of
people.
Grassroots type of thing and
similar
and
kind
sort of a camaraderie event of like minds type of thing.
Hopefully apart from anything else, it's just a good networking opportunity for writers and readers and literary enthusiasts to go along and meet other like-minded people as well.
So, because I was at one of your last events, and was it Naomi Watts? Naomi Wood, sorry,
yeah.
Naomi.
Because Naomi Watts is listening.
Because of course she is. Of course Naomi Watts is an actress, somebody has said it. But she was there as well, in spirit.
Yeah.
And she had written quite an interesting book, because it was biofiction, is that correct term?
Yeah, I think so. The novel's called Mrs. Hemingway.
Yeah.
She's an Eccles Centre writer in residence, which is the reason why the Eccles Centre allow me to host the events at the British Library. And it explores the lives of Hemingway's four wives, of which people tend to know a bit about, but they only really associate them with Ernest Hemingway. So it was great when I read the book, because it's a fictional take, basically, based on historical research, a lot of which and the research came from the British Library and through the Eccles Centre.
Yes, she did a lot of research by what she was talking about. I thought, my gosh, that's a huge amount of research. And it was, because she didn't read from her book, but it was very interesting. She talked to, she's had two major books out, hasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, her first one's called The Godless Boys.
That's right. So she talked about both were extremely different in styles. And then the two people that read, again, were very different in styles. So it was nice to have, for me sitting there, to listen to a published author talking about her two different, and her journey, as you've said, to be a published author. And then to hear two other people that were extremely nervous, bless them, and as anyone would be reading their unheard work before, and getting feedback. And that was quite interesting. And I just want to know what feedback you received yourself for the event and how people feel that's, you know, how work for them.
Yeah. Well, the feedback's actually been very positive, really, which has been really nice to hear, because it's all a non-profit event, which I kind of organise in my own time, really. So I think it comes from quite a genuine place from myself, in that I do actually want to use these events to help people who maybe aren't from a creative writing background, who maybe haven't had those opportunities, or they're a bit further in different careers and now, you know, they're at a point where they want to get into writing. So I think, yeah, from that point of view, people feel like it actually is quite helpful and insightful, because otherwise how do you know these things? You know?
Well, yes, and also what's interesting is that I found that, because writing is not that easy, if you think it's, you know, I'm going to write a book, and it's not. And the thing is, obviously, you're doing your job, or you've got your family or whatever, and to actually take the time to do that, but also it can be slightly disheartening, but to then come together with people that are also said the same thing, that, oh, well, I have to get up at 6 and write an hour or whatever. It's great to hear that it's not just you out there that's the only one that's going, oh, it's going to take me ages to write this book. There are other people out there as well. So that was quite nice, in what I found on your event, besides there were free wine as well, which
oh, great.
Which was gorgeous, I might add.
Nice,
yeah.
Red, white, and everything else. I enjoyed it very much. And it was interesting because you were talking about your own experience being a writer and wanting to write as well.
Yeah.
Which, again, puts people in a very comfortable, interesting position. They feel, oh, I'm the person that's running this is amongst that. So how do you, where are you as a writer, and what are you...
Very early on, really, which is part of the reason why I actually set up the events. Part of that reason was a way to help me find out more about the writing and the publishing industry, because I'd kind of started working on a novel. I knew nothing about how you go about finding literary agents, the different genres that you can write for, and I thought, well, you know, how can I find out more information about this? And also meet other like-minded people as well. So I thought, aha, I'll host my own event. And actually at my first event, which was in my local pub in South Ealing, that was with Naomi Wood as well. And I read an extract of my fiction, which was the start of a novel I'm working on, and actually did have some really helpful feedback on it. And it helped me decide the time period as well, that it was going to be set in. So I'm basically developing that at the moment. And yeah, to be honest, without that event, I probably wouldn't... It wouldn't have given me the kickstart that I needed, I think, to carry on working with it.
So you're sort of... Well, you're not really, but you're sort of running your own... hints, you're getting hints from people. Come to my event, but I want to know, which is great, which I think is great. One thing that I just did get from Naomi Wood was, which I thought was really interesting point, is obviously this thing about putting your work online or self-publishing, and she said something that I thought, oh, that makes sense, is to put your work out there. That's great, but it's always going to be out there. And if you put it out there unedited or unlooked at or whatever, that's how people will mark you or think your work is. So I found that quite an interesting tip.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're all eager to get our work out there, and we know the internet can take it. But it, you know, it's the same as putting a play on or writing a play. You want it out there, oh, let the whole world know. But you have to keep it tight to yourself as long as you can. And find a good editor, I think. Or someone who's a very good proofreader.
Yeah. Someone who's got your back. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think writing is a very solitary activity, and you can be working on a novel for years and years and years. And I think what I found is that, you know, you do this thing on your own time. A lot of people don't actually know you do it. And really, you just want some kind of recognition, or you just want people to say, oh, hey, that's great. Or, you know,
just to say, well done for spending that time doing
yeah,
that.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, I agreed. I think the online world is quite a big, scary world. You know, we haven't really explored it yet. So it's, I think it's giving the value that you've earned to the work that you've done, and you know, just not necessarily putting it out there. But that's why I think events are so great, because you can go along to these events and read your work. And not just my event, you know, other literary events as well, where you can go and share work with other people. And it's just a way of sort of validating what you've done, really, as well as getting some actual, hopefully some constructive feedback for it as well.
So we were just saying about putting your work out onto the internet, mm-hmm. and that it's not such a good idea and you keep it close to you. What's the path that you should take if you've written something and you want to get it looked at? Obviously, you can come to the events, but... Mm-hmm. Say you come to the event and you make some changes. What kind of advice have your authors been given out that has been like editors and publishing and things like that? What kind of advice can you give? Say if someone's listening now and they've written something and they don't want to put it out. They've maybe been thinking about putting it out on the internet.
Yeah.
But they, you know, we're just saying now, don't do that. What other paths can they take then? What can they do with that work?
Yeah. Well, there are many paths, really. And from what I've gathered to talking about it to other people, I don't think there are any set rules as to what you can and can't do. And also, I should add, there are many people who run a lot of really, really successful blogs as well. So it's not, you know, it's not the be all and end all if you have put work out, you know, on the internet. I think some people actually do that very successfully. I think it just depends what works for you. And obviously, ebook publishing, there are some great ebook publishers out there. Mm. But yeah, things you can do is, if you have a completed novel that you're happy with, you can pursue literary agents, and there are some really good workshops that you can go to about how you would approach them, sending them letters. You can also explore funding options, getting the funding to write the book that you want to write. I know Arts Council England do funding, and again, there's workshops that you can go along to that would teach you how to do that.
Mm. What about editors? What advice have you got on editors out there? Think?
Well, I don't know much about editors, I'm afraid. Maybe I'll store that question for my next event, I think, and ask an author there. I mean, personally, one thing that I find really helpful is just sending out some of my work to really close friends, and because who I trust and who I know will give me honest feedback. And then when they've got the time to read it, they can get back to me with notes. And one of those friends, I'm very fortunate, does happen to be an editor. So,
it's a bonus.
Which is a bonus. Yeah. So when she's got the time, she does very kindly read some of my work. Yeah.
And do you have people like editors and people like that come to your events, or obviously would you, or are they invited to come? How dare you, editors, yeah. The scum of the earth. You know, because obviously at an event such as yours, people could meet editors or proofreaders or whatever. So is your events are open to, are they open to all people within the industry?
They're open to
industry.
They're
that's the right word.
They're open to everybody, that anybody who wants to come, basically. It's a free event, and so, you know, anybody who would like to come is always welcome to. You don't even have to be into writing or reading. If you're just a literature lover, somebody who likes listening to new writing, you know, you can absolutely come along. Anybody who works professionally in the industry, I would love to have you come along and you know, have your opinions from the audience. So yeah, certainly editors and agents, I always try and make a point of inviting them along.
And are they always here at the British Library?
The events?
Yeah.
My very first one was at my local pub. as you do, I needed a free space to host it in. My second one was in Norwich, which is my hometown, and I had a literary organisation called Words and Women, who I sort of met at a networking event, and they very kindly kind of supported me in doing an event in Norwich. And yes, my third one was then here at the British Library with support from the Echo Centre. And we're just collaborating at the moment on having an event here next year, although I've unfortunately, I can't say anything about it. But yeah, at some point next year,
so
there'll be another one.
So you've got something exciting coming up.
Yeah.
Cool. So Words and Women, you want what's that about then?
So they're a literary organisation in the east of England. I should probably mention I was born in Norwich, so it's my hometown. So I go back there fairly frequently. And they support female writers in the east of England at any stage in their career, whether at the beginning or fairly established. And they host two or three events a year where they invite authors along and give lots of advice. But it's not just women who go to those events. It can be men, children, dogs and cats. And
Everyone's a writer.
Everyone's a writer, yeah. I think we did have a dog come along to an event once, but he didn't look particularly interested.
Didn't read anything.
No, I don't think so. I thought it was quite rude of him, really.
Yeah.
He could have made more effort, yeah. But they're a really fantastic organisation. I'd recommend, if you're a female writer in the east of England, then do have a look on their blog.
Yeah.
There's loads of information there about how you can get involved.
Okay, cool.
Going back to blogging, because you mentioned it and we talked about it a little bit just earlier.
Yeah.
What's your views on blogging and putting writing out there on blogging? You think it's a good platform? Have you got a blog yourself? Have you explored that kind of side?
Yeah. Well, I guess firstly I should say that probably my views on blogging are slightly irrelevant because I'm not a published writer. I don't really know these things for sure. Mm. My personal view is that I think it's great if you can really find kind of a niche sort of identity on the internet, and because a lot of people do it very successfully, you know, they have blogs where they build up a lot of followers, and I've always found them very enjoyable to read. So it's whatever suits you, really. But for me personally, I haven't really pursued it yet because I don't feel that I have enough of a sense of myself in finding that kind of strong identity on the internet. Mm. If I started a blog, I think it would just be, Izzy's fun, wacky, creative short stories, which is nice, but I don't think anyone really wants to, particularly follow that and read that. So I'd probably wouldn't go down that route as a writer myself.
Mm. That's good advice, actually, because there's a lot of millions of blogs out there, and the ones that catch your eye are very niche.
They're
a very established identity. They know what they are, and they attract an audience.
Do you think that's talking about niche? Do you think that's a thing that without pigeonholing oneself, that as a new writer, you should find that, or should you allow that to find you?
I think, again,
because there are thousands and millions of, I mean, we're in the British Library, there's millions of thousands of books.
Yeah. There's a whole bookcase of them right there.
Ancient old books in front of us. But do you think the niche thing is important? You know, a bit like acting, you need to find your casting. Do you think that's important, or do you think that's sort of getting in the way? When you're first starting, I mean.
Yeah. Do you know, I think it's... I think it can be really, really helpful, actually. I think if you decide that you are a horror writer and you write really strong horror stories and, you know, that is your thing, then you know who to approach about that. You know the type of audience that you'll have. So, yeah, I think it is a very helpful thing. That said, if, you know, like me, you're a little bit uncertain about what it is that you write, I mean, I would say I write literary fiction. Obviously, that's a very, very general genre. I don't think there's any cause for despair about it, because I think if you just kind of stay true to yourself and keep writing what it is that you like to write, then eventually, you know, that niche kind of will find you, inevitably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. No. Absolutely. So your events are, how often do you have them?
As often as I can do them, really.
Okay.
Because although I call it an organisation, it is sort of basically me on my phone trying to organise everything in my spare time, which I really enjoy doing. It's not a bad thing.
Well, I have to say, when I came, you had great support around you, you know, all the sort of ushering and all that sort of stuff. I could see that people think it's a great idea, and I think it was all the seats were full when I was there.
Yes.
So... you know, there's obviously you found your niche.
Yes.
And this is something that I can see can only grow and do really well. And Naomi spoke so well as well. And the woman before her, the organisation that's here.
Oh, Cara from the Eccle Centre.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was great. She spoke about stuff.
Yeah,
and told us
lovely,
about
yeah.
the is it the scholarship? No, it's not scholarship. What's the thing we're talking about?
The writers in residence.
Writers in residence,
they can get
yeah.
funding to go and pursue their projects.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting to know about, which I didn't yeah. know about before. So there was that. There was obviously the author herself and the Q&A from that you did with her. The terrified writers reading their unpublished work, which was great, and accepting the feedback, because that's one thing is to accept someone saying, well, I didn't get that at all, and I think maybe you should have gone down this road and blah blah blah, which there were a few people that said that, but not in a vicious way, but in an honest way, and that's a big thing to be able to sit there and take that, and even if you disagree with it, it's nice to be able to read in front of your audience or an audience, as opposed to just getting a letter from a publisher.
Same, but no thanks. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You're doing your sort of research beforehand.
Yeah, and
so I think that's why I think your event is a great idea and a great concept.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think hopefully it is also a little bit of a showcase for the unpublished writers involved, because obviously if they haven't put their work out there before, nobody knows who they are, but hopefully people will get away thinking, oh yes, I know who that person is, I really loved what they were reading, and I'll certainly look forward to, you know, hearing more about them in the future. So hopefully it's a bit of a platform for them as writers as well. And yeah, I do try to kind of create a nice, warm, supportive environment. That is a really big part of it for me, is not making it feel formal, or because otherwise there's no way I would have read one of them either if I'd made it feel quite formal and scary. So it's not. I try to get as far away from possible.
So it's not an adjudication. It's not a seminar or anything like that.
It's you know. Hopefully, it's like my first one was set in a pub. You know, I try to give it that kind of vibe. You know, I don't want anybody to go away feeling like they had a horrible time. So,
So I met someone I hadn't seen for nearly 30 years. So that was nice.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah,
one of the events.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
I know, bizarre.
So if people want to find out more, what if they are a writer they want to read at one of the events?
Yep, so you can get in touch with me at info@bookstalkback.com. Just tell me a bit about yourself and why you'd like to be involved, why you'd like to read at one of the events. That's always good to know. If you're a little bit unsure, I'd suggest maybe come along to one of the events first and kind of get a flavour for the evening and see what it's about. Yes, and come along as a guest, and then, but yeah, just whip me an email, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Okay, cool. And if you're attending the events, you got a website people can find out.
Yeah,
more?
It's www.bookstalkback.com, which is designed by a really wonderful friend of mine. I'll just give him a little plug. His name's Ben Galpin, and he runs Malvolio Media, and he does fantastic websites.
Excellent.
I'm really happy with it. But yeah, do visit that website, and. All the information's on there about how you can get involved.
Great. Okay. And Twitter plug? Are you on Twitter?
Twitter plug. Yeah, absolutely. It's @BooksTalkBack.
Excellent.
Very simple. Yeah.
Nice and easy.
All the updates are on there. So, and feel free to get in touch. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up there. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes,
it's
thank
been
you.
Very good.
You're
and
welcome.
I hope you've all got a lot of information from this show. If you could leave us a little review, if you've enjoyed the show, then please go to iTunes and leave us a review out of 5 stars. As always, you can listen to more podcasts on our website, don'tbesodramatic.com, and follow us on Twitter @DBSDpodcast. So that's it for this week. So thanks everyone for listening. I'm Steve Bradley.
I'm Jason B. Moore.
And I'm Isabel King.
Don't be so dramatic.